Blog
Talk Radio. Hello, this is OFIO on the radio, and this is Monday, November 30th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We are jam-packed today. My favorite weekend, Thanksgiving. Might be my favorite week now, sports-wise, as you get everything. You get college basketball, you get pro basketball, you get college football, you get pro football, the baseball winter meetings start. We had our first big-time signing with Jordan Zimmermann this weekend, going to the Detroit Tigers. I'll talk about that later. Can't do base because we are filled up. We are locked and loaded. And we're going to start off with college hoops. Y'all know that's my weekend. Man, you got so many tournaments now, I can't keep count of them. I mean, you got the Maui Invitational, which has been the one for years. But then you got all these new jacks. No more Great Alaskan Shootout like they used to have back in the day. And used to have Maui and so on and so forth. But now you got the Battle for Atlantis, and the Gotham Four Classic, and they play in places like Puerto Rico and Cancun, Mexico, and New York City, and they play all over the place. But how about some of the stories? Hey, what about Boutman? That's right, Coach King Rice out there. Hey. I didn't like him too much as a player in North Carolina, but hey, he is coaching out there. Their season opening victory, they beat UCLA. But how about this? Then last week they beat Notre Dame. First ever victory versus a ranked team in Mountain of history. And then they barely lost to Dayton. Dayton's 5-0. They are really playing well. And just look at this, is a great story with Mountains over there, King Rice. Hey, you can never start too early on thinking who's going to be Roy's replacement now, as Roy is no longer a spring chicken. And after these violations, who knows what it's going to be like over there. Meanwhile, what about Syracuse? Syracuse, they've been in the news for the wrong reasons pretty much for the last year. They won their appeal at the beginning of the week. They were supposed to lose 12 scholarships over four years, the most ever the NCAA has ever handed down. They won an appeal. They'll get one scholarship back per year. But then it seemed to get them going. They were in that battle for Atlantis, and they come up. They beat UConn, and then they come right back to beat Texas A&M. Texas A&M was ranked 25, Collins ranked 18. Syracuse, they're starting to get stuff going now. Now, they had their freshmen, Malachi Richardson and Tyler Linden, doing work for them. Pay attention to those names. They still have some more on that bench that are pretty underrated. But, hey, pay attention to Syracuse. No one is. They got a decent team. They don't have the normally talent-laden team that they normally have, but they do have a lot of good players in their system, and you know that system drives people crazy playing that 2-3 zone. So pay attention to Syracuse through this year. Also, what about this upcoming week? Yeah, you know, right after Thanksgiving, it's the same old, ACC versus Big Ten. I know I still miss the ACC versus the Big East, but can't even do it nowadays. ACC has too many teams. But what about this week in, that's right, the nation's capital. That's right, right here. We have the old rivalry week this week, because on Tuesday you have Maryland going to North Carolina. Wait a minute, that's the old ACC rivalry. Time to rock and roll on that one. But now you got the Maryland in the Big Ten. Well, we got the same thing coming on Saturday. Syracuse coming down here to play Georgetown, the old Big East rivalry. Again, Syracuse now in the ACC, so we got two old rivalries coming back. People should be excited here in the college hoops. I know ESPN, for some reason, keep on running the Indiana-Duke game. endorsements, and Indiana's having trouble this year. Duke might be able to run over them. So pay attention to those. Also, got to talk about the 500-win coaches. Tom Izzo won his 500-win, and then Bob McKillop won his 500-win. When does anybody know who Steph Curry's coach was in college? I don't know if people do. Do they know he played at Davidson? Bob McKillop, one of the real good coaches out there. Here, 500 wins along with Tom Odom this weekend. All right, going to the NFL real quick. Hey, I got to talk about the Skins. I mean, hey, they're 5-6. Nothing to get excited about, but they're in first place, and they're tied for first place in the NFC East. That's right. They beat the Giants 20-14. Hey, everybody around here is giddy as can be. Kirk Cousins, he didn't have a bad day. He didn't have a great one, in my opinion. I mean, he had really good numbers, 20 for 29, 302 yards, one touchdown. He also had a touchdown run. But to me, the big dude on offense is and was Jordan Reed, 8 catches, 98 yards. Eli Manning, he threw 3 interceptions and was absolutely awful until the fourth quarter, tried to bring him back. They were down 20 to nothing. He comes up, he throws 2 touchdown passes in the fourth quarter, but Skins held the ball. And the second one to Odell Beckham, you're not going to find too many better catches than that one, other than his own great catch on Sunday night against the Cowboys. But it's Skins. Now they're tied for first with the Giants in the NFC East. The Raiders, they come up, and they come back from behind to beat the Titans 24-21. Derek Carr threw for 330 yards, 3 touchdowns. There was an Amari Cooper sighting. Last week he only caught 1 pass. This week, 7 catches, 115 yards. What about Seth Roberts? 5 catches, 103 yards. Everything he caught was going downfield, and he caught the big touchdown pass to put him ahead. And the Raiders, they look like still on the precipice of losing. But it, all you need to do is get a victory. I'm telling you, they can make a run at the end of the season. I've been saying that at the whole time. They can make a run at the end of the season. Meanwhile, in Indianapolis, are you kidding me? What is going on with the Colts? They don't have Andrew Luck, and they play better. Huh? Say something wrong here? That's right. They don't have Andrew Luck, and they play better. 4-0 without Andrew Luck, or should I say 4-0 with Tim Hasselbeck out there. They went 25-12. Hasselbeck, 315 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, both going to T.Y. Hilton. Hey, Dante Moncrief, told you last year, I thought he was going to be a rookie that would spring out. Okay, he didn't have that great rookie year, but he is getting it done that sophomore year. Big time playing by this kid. Hey, watch out for him. 8 catches, 114 yards for Moncrief yesterday. What about the Texans? Hey, my former residents is getting it done. I mean, they're not even caring about what people say about them nowadays on the offensive end. Why? Because defensively, they are laying the smack down to people. So in the last 4 victories, they are giving up 8.8 points a game. That's right. They're not even giving up double figures. They didn't do it yesterday against the Saints. They whipped them 24-6. Drew Brees and the Saints offense, no touchdowns. That's the first time that's happened for them since week 16 in 2005. And the problem to me, you know, looking at the Saints, they're throwing the ball way too much. They were actually successful on the run. They didn't run the ball at all. They threw the ball 46 of their 56 plays. Can't do it. Do it. Even if it's Drew Brees, you got to run the ball sometime. But the Saints, they're in such disarray right now. Got to give Brian Hoyer his credit. 21-27, 205 yards, a touchdown. He did throw an interception. But, hey, the Texans, 4 straight wins. Don't look now. But if the playoffs were to start, the Texans would be in a wild card race in the AFC. That's how ridiculous the AFC is right now. But don't look now, Texans, because here comes another team, the Kansas City Chiefs. They are rolling. They won their 5th in a row. They beat the Bills 30-22. Alex Smith, 255 yards and 2 touchdowns. But what about Spencer Ware? I mean, did he come out of nowhere or what? yesterday. 19 carries for 114 yards and a touchdown. Jeremy Maclin, he has been killing it for the Chiefs. 9 catches, 160 yards and a touchdown. What about the Seahawks? Man, I thought they were done. I was about to just say, yeah, put it on them. They're about to be done. The Steelers were rolling, and they come up and they came back, beating the Steelers 39-30. I don't really know what else to say about Russell Wilson. Ridiculous yesterday, 345 yards. He threw 5 touchdowns, 3 of them. Doug Baldwin, when he comes up, and he even had a big time running game with Thomas Rawls, 21 carries, 81 yards, a touchdown. Hey, how come all the MAC players, they come up, they got to prove themselves all the time. These guys can play. Thomas Rawls, he wasn't drafted by anybody, but now he's leading Seattle. And it looks like it's going to be for a while because Marshawn Lynch, I know he was supposed to have sports hernia surgery, but it looks like he's going to be out a little bit longer than they first thought. Thought over there. Meanwhile, how about the Broncos? Ooh-wee. Didn't see that one coming at all. They come up and they take out the Broncos 30-24 in overtime. Okay, it's going to start now because you know you got this problem here with this Brock Osweiler guy winning games that Peyton Manning used to win, but you got the Broncos, their defense really didn't hold down the fort. It was the Broncos, 17 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. New England had to kick a field goal at the buzzer to put it in the overtime, and then C.J. Anderson runs 48 yards for a touchdown. And people better watch out now, because now Patriots have their loss. They're 10-1, but it's the injuries. Amendola's hurt. Julian Edelman's hurt. We know Gronkowski went down yesterday. They don't think it's that serious. Brady got to throw the ball to somebody. Their running game was awful yesterday, 39 yards on 16 carries. Yeah, that's below 2.5 yards per carry. Can't do anything with that. You got to give Brady somebody to throw to and watch the Broncos. Remember, I said the Broncos are going to take them out. I think they're going to really start playing well now because now they're starting to believe in Mr. Osweiler. In college football, ooh-wee, gotta go to Houston. Man, oh man, I'm gonna have to give University of Houston props when they built that big old stadium over there on the campus where when they had 30,000 people, they couldn't sell it out, and then they built it up to 50,000. Why in the world are you doing that for if you can't get 30,000? Well, they are starting to show up now because Houston, they laid the smack down the Navy 52-31. They win their side of the American Athletic Conference. They go to the conference tournament and championship game, and they are going to be playing Temple. Are you kidding me? Are there two bigger surprises in college football than Houston? I mean, Temple comes up here. They're 10-2. They were ranked this year. Then you got Navy. They're 11-1. Houston. They were 11-1. Navy. They were 9-2. Big time win by Houston, though. What about Greg Ward? 308 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. Then he ran for 83 more and another touchdown. Now the guy is really big time for Houston. Hey, Tom Herman. Do not expect him to be there next year. Houston Cougar fan, I'm just telling you now. Meanwhile, Iowa, they stay undefeated. They beat Nebraska 28-20 at Nebraska. Hey, Jordan Kinzeri, he ran for 140 yards, 2 touchdowns. But the big thing was the Iowa defense. He laid the smack down to Nebraska on the defensive end. Tommy Armstrong, he threw 4 interceptions. That'll do it every time. They came up short. Iowa stays undefeated. They're going to the Big Ten championship game to play, not Ohio State. Even though they did roll Ohio State with Michigan, 42-13, boy, it wasn't nice. J.D. Barnett, he only threw for 113 yards. He had a touchdown, but he ran 19 times for 139 yards and three touchdowns. And he only had the second best day to run because of Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, that Ezekiel Elliott, this dude that I said I wouldn't play if it were me coaching because of what he said last week. 30 carries, 214 yards and two touchdowns. They pulverized Michigan. But the reason they don't go ahead, and I'm going to skip around a little bit on the schedule here. Here, Michigan State, they just pounded Penn State 55-16. Penn State couldn't get anything going. They had four turnovers. Meanwhile, Connor Cook came back for the Spartans. He threw for 248 yards, three touchdowns. And now Michigan State, they'll play Iowa in the Big Ten title game. Meanwhile, Clemson, they had to hold on to beat South Carolina 37-32. Actually, I have to give my dad credit on this one. I mean, I said it was going to be a rout city, but not this time. South Carolina, they came out with their was it third-string quarterback? I think it was their third-string quarterback, Perry Orth, and he threw three touchdowns. I mean, what are we doing here, Clemson? And they actually made it a lot closer than we thought it was going to be, 37-32. Of course, you had the typical show by Deshaun Watson, and 20 of 27, 279 yards, a touchdown. He ran 21 times for 114 yards and three touchdowns. Wayne Gallman ran for 102 yards as well. They will be in the ACC championship game, and they will be playing also unbeaten in the ACC, the North Carolina Tar Heels. They stayed unbeaten as they beat NC State 45-34. Hey, it wasn't even Marquise Williams' show this time. I mean, he did throw for 174 yards. He had a touchdown, but he also had a pick. Just saying something. It was a dominant running game this time by the Tar Heels. Elijah Hood, 21 carries, 220 yards, and two touchdowns. And you also had T.J. Logan with big play after big play. He had six carries, and he had 100 yards and two touchdowns. Now, in North Carolina, will play Clemson in the ACC title game. What about Alabama? They come up, and they run through Auburn, and I literally mean run through because we really don't need to talk about anybody but Derrick Henry. What about his day? Second most carries in SEC history in a single game. He ran the ball 46 times for 271 yards. He even had the energy and, should I say the gall? Well, you can't say the gall if he touched the ball 46 times. How about the endurance? There we go. That sounds a little bit better. He still had the endurance to take off for a 25-yard run at the end of the game. That was the last play. That was his last play, 25-yard touchdown run. He got it done. Big-time performance by Henry. Alabama, they will be in the SEC championship game. They will be playing Florida. I didn't put their game up there because Florida only scored 2 points. I figure if you can't score more than 3 points, why am I going to talk about you? Florida State, they punished Florida on Saturday. I had to take a double take. I was like, wait a minute, where's the scoring? And there was nothing. Florida State pounded them 27-2 and absolute thrashing. Meanwhile, how about Stanford? Got to give them credit. They come up. They don't really have too much to play for, but they went at Notre Dame and played them toe-to-toe, one of the best games of the weekend, 38-36. Kevin Hogan, even 17 for 21, 259 yards, four touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey had a pretty pedestrian day for his performance, 27 carries, 94 yards. But what about Josh Adams for Notre Dame? 18 carries, 168 yards, and a touchdown. That's a Notre Dame freshman record in a game. And but they came up just a little bit short, 38-36. Got to talk about Oklahoma, though. Man, did they do work. Oh, by the way, Stanford in the Pac-10 title game. They should be playing USC. USC just throttled UCLA. Didn't see that coming neither. 40-21. Man, I just didn't see it coming. They just pounded them. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, I've been saying, I think they're the best team in the country. I really, really think they're the best team in the country. They ran through the Cowboys at Oklahoma State, 58-23. Baker Mayfield just keep on doing what he's doing, throwing for 180 yards, two touchdowns, but they just pounded Oklahoma State on the ground. Mayfield also ran 11 times for 77 yards and a touchdown. Then you had Joe Mixon. He ran 14 times for 136 yards, two touchdowns. Samir Perrine, he does it every week. 17 carries, 131 yards, two touchdowns. They ran down their throat. They just really got busy out there on the Cowboys. Had nothing. They had nothing for them. They had no answer all day. 58 points. They could have scored 60 if they were really pushing. All right. Now, I purposely left myself a lot of time. Now, normally, this would be a two-minute warning, but I speeded it up a little bit because there was a big thing that happened last night, or should I say yesterday, and all Laker fans, they are not really in mourning. You kind of expected it. Kobe Bryant announced his retirement last night. He's going to retire at the end of the season. 20 years as a Laker, he had pretty much been the face of the league pretty much for most of those 20 years. I mean, you got to think about that. That is a big burden to carry. 20 years as a Laker, 20 years he was the guy, he was the second guy taken out of high school next to Kevin Garnett. And both he and Kevin Garnett were almost ambassadors for this trial by taking kids from high school who not only did he do it well, but he's one of the greatest players to ever play, period. We don't need to go over all of his accomplishments, but we're going to hit on a couple of them. But again, 20 years as a Laker. Then he had the burden of being the next Michael Jordan. I don't know how many times the kid heard this throughout the years. He still hears it nowadays. He's been in the league 20 years and is one of the top 10 players to ever play this game. And he still hears that he was the closest thing or the next Michael Jordan. I don't know how he does that, but it is what it is. Also has the burden of the label, is he the greatest Laker of all time? Now, to me, there's only two that there's even a comparison with, and that's Magic and Kobe. Hey, Jerry West is always the definitive Laker, but it's because of what he did as a player and as an executive, as being a Laker life. We're just talking about playing. It's Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson. Both won 5 rings. Both got a ton of MVPs. Both did everything that you would want them to do on the court. Both were the leader of their franchises. Both demanded winning almost at all costs. Both went to championships. I mean, went to the finals so many times. It's, you know, unbelievable. Matter of fact, I think combined they had like 16 to Kobe and Magic. That's who you got to go from. The 5 rings, hey. Remember a long time ago when they said, well, he can't win NBA rings without Shaquille O'Neal. Well, Shaquille O'Neal gets Genesis into Miami, and Kobe comes up. They build a team. Then they win back-to-back titles. And people forget, he did go to 3 finals in a row. He fell short to the Celtics in 2008, 2009, 2010. They win the NBA titles, 5 rings. Okay, then you go into individual accomplishment. Oh, my goodness. I mean, we'll be all day on that one. When, if you talk about the fact that he scored 81 points in a game pretty much 55 and a half, which you start scratching your head when you think about that type of stuff. Underrated stat he has is he is 10th all time in scoring average. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, why is that underrated? Well, remember, Kobe Bryant, when he came in the league as a rookie, he hardly played. He didn't play many minutes his first year, and he came off the bench his second year. It wasn't until his third year, which was abbreviated, by the way, because of an NBA strike. Great. So his first 3 years, he didn't really get to do what he really could do. Now, also leave in the fact that he came up with Shaquille O'Neal. That meant his scoring was going to be down until Shaquille O'Neal left, and it was. And then, of course, he showed how much he could score, 35. Kobe, you're not winning any games. So when they started winning titles, he was going 27, pretty much doing what he did with Shaquille O'Neal again. But the whole deal is over 25 points a game when you consider the fact that early on in his career was not, he didn't score any because he hardly played a big time. You know, it's not like when you see Allen Iverson up there who started as a rookie. No, not Kobe Bryant. I think that's one of the real underrated things that Kobe Bryant doesn't get credit for. But how about this? And how about the fact that he was an ambassador for the league? I will say, and I will continue to say, the 2008 U.S. Olympic team, which came up, and remember, Kobe Bryant never lost a game on the U.S. team. Never lost a game. Now, there's a lot of people who've had that, but remember at the time we had just lost. We had just taken a bronze in 2004. And then 2008 comes up. And remember when they played Spain in that classic game and Kobe takes over and did his Kobe thing. Never lost a game in the U.S. Won the gold medal, then came back in 2012. Won the gold medal again. But to me, what I mean by ambassador of the game is this. If you look at the players on that 2018, everybody, player per player, were amazed and perplexed at how much Kobe worked out, and they implemented that into their workout regimen. Now, remember the names that you come up here when you talk about this. Yes, LeBron James was on that 2018. Yes, Dwayne Wade was on that 2018 team. If we're talking about 2012, yes, Kevin Durant was on that 2012 team. So you're talking about the future of the league, the future ambassadors of the league, still learning from Kobe Bryant at the advanced age, that he was. Now, he wasn't advanced back in 2008, but in 2012, well, that was him nearing not being the same Kobe Bryant, but still being a great player. You look at the players today, they almost in deference to Kobe, how great he is. He's this and that because they saw it on the court. They saw him do it on the court for the Olympic team in a similar fashion to the Dream Team in 92 when they saw Jordan. They're like, holy mac, this dude's a lot better than we thought he was. It was the same type of deal with Kobe Bryant, and the players actually learned from him. Now, thing is, from the future, I think Kobe Bryant is the end of an era that we had. The golden era in the NBA, in a lot of people's opinion, was the 80s. He was the last old-school throwback player in the 80s with the workouts he had, with the attitudes he had. He didn't want to befriend anybody. He was all about getting it done, winning at all costs with a single-mindedness towards winning. That's something that we don't have today. That's something I don't think we'll ever have again. I think Kobe Bryant is someone that pretty much is by himself in terms of the single-minded focus. And now, what do we have nowadays? We don't have anybody like that nowadays. Kobe Bryant is the last of the Mohicans, as they say, and it's going to be really sad to see him go. All right. Well, we'll be back here on Thursday. The preview of the NBA. We'll talk about what's going on in college basketball. Hey, I just told you about the ACC Big Ten going on this week. So talk to you Thursday at 9. Toodaloo and bye-bye. Mm-hmm.